dein Wort, Herr. Öffne unsere Augen, Herr. Öffne unsere Herzen, Herr. Bedeck uns mit deinem Blut, Herr. Herr, Vater, dein Name werde geheiligt.
Lord, cover us with your precious blood.
Wir danken dir, dass du heute auch hier dein Haus baust, Herr.
Thank you, you're building your house here. Lord, speak through our brother. Fill him with your life and flow in all of us and open up every heart. Lord, we do praise your name for your speaking in your house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your speaking until now. We want to continue swim in that river. Take us all along, Lord. We pray for every single heart. Cleanse us, Lord, we pray. Turn us away from everything earthly. We do want to know you. We give our personal focus. May it be completely set upon you. For this, we need your help, Lord. We cry to you. Turn our hearts, Lord. We do praise you for your house. Amen. We do praise you for your word. Thank you for your speaking. Speak this morning again to us. Open our hearts to you. Make them soft, that your word would fall on soft ground. Strengthen our brother now. Let your word simply flow this morning. Your word is living and operative, piercing through. Also this morning, Lord, grant us simple hearts, pure hearts that receive your word. We do stand with our brother Timo. You may supply him with spirit and life, that rivers of water of life flow through him. Amen. Lord, enlighten us through the brother. Strengthen our meeting. Comfort our hearts and grant us ears to hear as disciples hear. Amen. Lord, we do love your word. We do love your word, Lord Jesus. We want to hear your voice, Lord. We want to hear your voice in your word. We are in the Spirit, but we also turn once more again to you. We do praise you. You are speaking a word to the churches. Do not stop that, Lord. You want to lead us unto perfection, unto completion. You have not forsaken your work, and you will continue to do it. Preserve all the saints in your word, Lord. And let this word fall deeply into our hearts to bear fruit. Lord, we make ourselves one with you and take away what burdens us. Speak richly to your people, Lord. Lord, your word is a comfort for my heart. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Open up our hearts to hear you, what you have to say. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, for your word, that it may carry out what you have sent it for in our hearts. We open our hearts to you, and we tell you, Lord, speak your living word. We praise and we love you and your word. Amen. The headline says, we hear what the Spirit says. Amen. Message number 6. It is a very, challenging statement, right? But my burden is that at least after this meeting this morning, we will go out with such a prayer of consecration. Right? Go home back into the next fellowships and simply hear what the Spirit says. We should be open for a fresh revelation. Do not rely on what we may have experienced a couple of years ago or have heard a long time ago. Well, I'm not interested at all anymore in what you heard 1999, experience the Spirit. This is a long time ago. The Lord grants revelation now for tomorrow, today and tomorrow. I do not want to rely on what was in the past. Lord Jesus, in the beginning, I would like to mention two portions, that is Revelation chapter 1 and then 1 Corinthians 2. Revelation 1, it's in paragraph A, verse 10. Revelation 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. And verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw. It goes on in chapter 4. There's also a statement that at the end of verse 1, where it says, come up here, the angel says, and I will show you. And verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit. And at the end of Revelation, that's chapter 21, again in verse 10, he carried me away in the Spirit. Right? So where do you want to be? John knew quite well where he was. I know where I physically am. No matter whether you're here in Stuttgart or online participants where you listen. Well, you know, there I am. The question is, where is your being inwardly? And I ask the question to you without expecting an answer. Give it to the Lord. Where are you this morning? For the Spirit is the place of revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them this to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. If I know the Spirit, then I will receive revelation. And to testify, as John did, I was in the Spirit. You have to know the Spirit and you have to know the place in order to receive the same revelation as he. Imagine we have a treasure box here. There is a treasure in it. Precious stones. Well, but you need a key to open up this box. I could describe this box. And even if I know the content, describe what is in it. But without the key, I cannot reach this precious content. It remains concealed, hidden to me. Right in the same way, today, among believers, unfortunately, there's so much confusion concerning the Spirit. Either they say, let's not talk about this, or they talk too much about this, what the Spirit could be, and it's still not the Spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, I would like this morning to ask you to respond to three questions. To ask first, who and what is the Spirit? And how do I reach it? What is not the Spirit? And what for do we listen to the Spirit? I can explain much. You could explain much, probably. The Lord is very simple. We heard these verses this morning in John chapter 7. 37-39. Well, it is the Lord presenting himself as a Spirit in simplicity. Right, it was on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said, and cried even, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, his inner being, will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 7. He who thirsts, come to me and drink. He says this of the Spirit. So come to the Lord and drink. Then you give the opportunity to the Lord to reveal himself. Right? Then tomorrow you may receive the next revelation already. And because the Lord said it so clearly, Paul also in his epistles, in different portions, could clearly say that the Lord is the Spirit. The last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. And also, the Lord is the Spirit. So simple, right? And where does the Spirit come in? We are to drink of it, aren't we? Where do I drink? If I drink of this glass of water here, it enters my stomach. And some among us know the Bible, that we do not, the word that we do not only have a body, but also have a soul and have a spirit. We human beings have a human spirit, a marvelous vessel to drink the Spirit into it. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This is an unmixed, clean source of the Spirit within us. The psalmist said that he knew it quite early. He mentions that in Psalm 116, verse 13, where he is describing taking up a cup. I will take up the cup of salvation. Take up and call upon the name of the Lord. That is a beautiful way to drink this Spirit. Lord Jesus. And Paul picks this up. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 3, he says, no one can say, Lord Jesus, except by or in the Holy Spirit. In other words, say much, say a lot, Lord Jesus, literally, Lord Jesus. It is like touching a fountain. I know there is a well within my spirit, and I want to dig it up, to search it, seek it. Lord, I want something to flow, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I exercised a lot these last days. Although I know it in my mind for such a long time, my memories, at that time, formerly we called on the name of the Lord, I cannot drink of that anymore. I can only drink if I call on now. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Sometimes I have to call on him for several minutes because this fountain seems to be blocked, right? Sometimes only it's one time and it's gushing the water, it's flowing. Do you know, I realize when I have drunk water, I realize immediately, wow, my thirst is quenched. You cannot tell me if I've drunk or not. I know myself. Something will flow of my inner being, rivers of living water. Lord Jesus. We sang this song a number of times, right? The key, yes, the Spirit is the key. You unlock with this the treasure box, don't you? The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You may know the story of that lady that in Luke 13 that was crippled. She was bent down. She was crooked. Luke describes her. And it says Satan had bound her so bent down she couldn't see up anymore. She couldn't look up. This may happen to us so with our burdens, burdened by sin. I always fall into again, for example, or by the sorrows of this world, the anxieties. What about my work, my job? What about my apartment, my house? With this, with that? Where do I go next for vacation? This is something that could surely heavily burden you. Sometimes I'm just dissatisfied with the situation I'm right in now. Just dissatisfied. That is a burden. Sometimes it's religious rules I make myself. He said, I am to read every day. I cannot make it. This is your own law you establish. Or I have to say something in every meeting. This can be a burden pressing you down. Well, the Lord freed that lady in one moment. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want to drink of this Spirit, that I be free of this thing I cannot make myself. Simply be one with Him. I turned to Him and then I'm free. Hallelujah. Just put off. Free. Is it difficult to put off your cardigan? Your jacket? Why do I think the Spirit is so heavy, so difficult? The Lord just delivered her. That's the Spirit. John is writing in his Gospel. He really knew the Spirit. John 14. John 14, 26. It is a chapter where the Lord described, and John wrote down in a detailed way, the Comforter, the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That's what the Spirit does. The same John is writing in his epistle almost the same wording, right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But you, the anointing you've received from him, abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Very interesting, right? John 14, he says, the Spirit teaches. And here in 1 John 2, he says, the anointing teaches you. So put this simply together. The anointing is the Spirit. Very simple, right? That is a person speaking constantly, teaching you. The anointing. Let me elaborate a little. To all those that have not heard or have not used much this word anointing, ointment. In the Old Testament, there have been things, items, and persons that were anointed whenever they were set apart for God. Then they were anointed. You can see this with their tabernacle. Every single item was anointed. And the priests and the kings, they all were anointed. And you needed ointment for that. Some spices were added. I don't want to go into detail. But this ointment, this anointing is this pouring of ointment. It's not only oil. I could put this glass here and decide whether to take it or not. But if the anointing teaches, then oil is flowing, something living in a sense. And if you put it together now with John 7, then something is flowing forth. Spirit wants to speak and teach you. Not the one speaking here in the front speaks and teaches, but it's the Spirit teaching you day by day. Praise the Lord. We heard yesterday, we can say, Lord, I've been crucified with you. I would like to live a life today, to have you as a crucified one before me, with such a prayer. We unlock this fountain that the ointment can flow. I hear, Lord Spirit, anointing, teach me how to talk to my colleague at work, where better not to listen. You have the anointing. You who have received the anointing abides in you. Wow, this is a sentence full of faith, right? John wrote this to these believers here. This anointing abides in you. Discover it. Amen. Right? Do I listen to the anointing? Well, sharpen your hearing. for the anointing. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Just the first part of this verse. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Tonight we will have the second part, the Spirit speaking to the churches. But this morning, I would like to linger and see and spend some time that we have to learn to discern the Spirit from any natural voices, right? John chapter 6, 63. Let's look it up together. John 6, 63. I'm reading New King James. That's an important verse. Let us read loudly, all together, in German. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and are life.
Amen.
Amen. The words that I speak to you or have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. I to you. That is Spirit and life. John was receiving when he was in the Spirit. He could hear what the Spirit spoke. He could turn to this voice immediately. I want to seek the Lord for so long and call upon Him until I realize I am open to receive now. I am in the Spirit now. If I realize now the fountain, the well is flowing, then I abide in Him and say, Lord, now you can speak. Lord, I'm completely, fully ears. I'm listening completely. The words that I spoke to you. Well, before he was rebuking the Pharisees, they had only researched the scriptures, but had not come to the Lord himself. Thomas said many times he does not want to make us Pharisees. Think again of this treasure box. The word that I speak to you is Spirit and life. If that is true, could I simply withdraw, go back, and say, what is this? This is the Bible. What is this? Word of God. So everything written here from the Bible is Spirit and life. How was it with the temptation? When the serpent came, he used the word. Was that Spirit and life? No, surely not. The Lord spoke Spirit and life and destroyed, conquered the devil, overcame the devil. It is like this today. Not everything spoken of the Word is Spirit and life, only what the Lord speaks. Don't rely on human concepts, but always ask who speaks. We shall read the word ourselves regularly, but also here. Only reading is not the guarantee for touching the Spirit. Bring His word before the Lord. Come to the Lord with the word. You do not come to me, he said to the Pharisees, that you have life. Well, I encourage you to come to the word in such a way. Before I open up the word, I first come to you, Lord. The Lord lives in us. But not everything coming out of my mouth automatically is spirit and life. Even if the one is dwelling in me who speaks spirit and life. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he wrote with fear, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3. What it says, I was with you, verse 3. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Not with persuasive words of human wisdom, no. How many clever words, convincing words, quote, quote, come out of the mouth of believers? I'm sorry for that. It hurts me because it's only words. Paul said, my preaching was not like that, although he was rhetorically gifted. Well, it looks attractive if someone is able to speak in a convincing way, persuasive. All of a sudden, I move over to that camp, right? As we heard in the second meeting. Because he can speak so well. Test it. It is the proof, the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Does it lead to the building up of the church?
We kennen so viele Mittel.
We know so many means by which we can touch the Spirit, right? Call on Him. Read the Word. Coming into the meetings, we heard. But, here is my but. I hope you understand what I mean. If I say meeting is equal to spirit, well, that is not that simple. My regularly coming into the meetings is not immediately the spirit. It may be instigated by the Spirit, initiated by the Spirit, but it's not the fact how many times I come into the meetings that this is a proof of the Spirit. Or how loud I am in the meeting. The Spirit urges me sometimes to praise Him loudly in the meeting. Something is flowing. Lord Jesus, I praise you. Whether I stand up or say it more quietly, doesn't matter. But don't say, whenever I am loud, I'm in the Spirit. Nope. We heard that before. Does the Spirit guide you, urge you? Or am I just a person extroverted, speaking loudly and tell everybody what I do. And I simply come like this into the meeting. Because I think loud is equal to spirit. Well, Lord Jesus, there is still another challenge. By understanding, discerning the voice of the Spirit. And I would like to what was pointed out in the meetings before. The Spirit speaks, we heard, right? And there are simultaneously other voices today from everywhere. Sometimes they are so noisy, so loud around me that I simply cannot hear the Spirit anymore. The I is spelled in capital letters today. Ego. Let us read a portion in Romans chapter 1. It moved me when I was preparing the word. It is about here about mankind in general, human beings in general. That is verse 21. He says, because they knew God, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. This is about idols here. The worship of the Lord had been exchanged with an image of a man. Well, that is idol worship. Who is the greatest idol in this universe? Buddha? No. Kind of nature gods? No. Idols? Well, no, the greatest idol is the I. Ego. The I. I. Myself. This could be so noisy that you would no longer hear the Spirit. And He is far, far away, very quiet. That was the case always, even in Romans already. And this idol is getting louder and louder, changing. Deuteronomy 32:17 says or sings, it's the song of Moses. Moses is singing here a song. He describes what will happen in the future. Deuteronomy 32:16-17. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. with abominations. They provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. And now, important part. To gods they did not know. If you speak of idols today, of course I know this is that and that Buddha statue or a statue of Mary or other saints, quote, quote. Well, but he says, to gods they did not know. Then he says, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Well, the I was always honored, but it's changed the so-called self. Do you know which form? The I became digital.
For jede generation, for jedes Alter.
For every generation, every age, the youth knows be real. The elder ones, the older ones,
den WhatsApp status.
They know the WhatsApp status.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Ich muss mich ja präsentieren.
I have to present myself. Have you listened? It's I have to present myself.
Und ich suche noch eine gute Begründung.
And I am looking for a good reason. Well, I'm looking for a new job. I have to present myself.
Ich sag nicht, dass man keine
I don't say you should not write another letter of application. Oh, find a new job. Well, no, seek and check before the Lord in simplicity and sobriety. I tell myself. My wife sometimes tells me, where are you again? What are you doing again? And the Lord also says to me sometimes, what are you doing? Sometimes, again. I just deal and busy with myself, with the I. This voice is so loud that I do not hear the Spirit even speaking in the meetings anymore. Lord Jesus, I repent. You can mention the platform you want, Facebook or whatever it is. I don't want to justify myself that if I didn't mention it this morning, it's not that bad, is it? No, that's too simple. Ask the Lord. Lord, Spirit, I want to hear your voice. And sometimes this being occupied with the I is that much that I, the things I'm convinced of, they get mixed with the spiritual things. Then happens what? Then the I, the self, is wandering, getting closer to the Spirit, closer and closer. Then, all of a sudden, the Spirit is here. And this I is getting bigger and bigger, bigger and bigger. And is completely commingled. This is in the English language, or in the French, or in the Italian language. I did not check all the languages, but you understand what I mean. All of a sudden, I mix up things I like, I find cool, I mix up with the true exercise of the Spirit. See, exercise unto godliness. I mix it up. And all of a sudden, the I is even getting stronger. And I start to bring in my self into the church life. It seems to be the Spirit, but if you check it with your spirit, you will realize, no, no, this is self being too strong. Oh, Lord Jesus. Paul knew this, realized this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Still, we speak wisdom among the matured ones, not the wisdom of this age. This age is very noisy, very loud, with all kinds of methods and talks, getting louder and louder. We do not speak wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Who are coming to nothing. Saints, the Spirit does not need anything of this age. The Spirit doesn't need good eloquence. No politics. Just drop it. Leave it out, please, out of the church life. Check how many times did the Lord deal with politics in his 3.5 years he was on earth? Did he thoroughly deal with this? When his best co-worker came, what about the taxes? Pay, how do we pay taxes? Well, the Lord said, come on, give their taxes to them, but give to God what is belonging to God. That's the only time I would say. Don't mix up, don't mingle. I better wipe it off again. But then how can I differentiate between soul and spirit? And spirit and all other voices? Didn't we hear it last night? The Word of God is living and operative. And sharper than any two-edged sword. That is Hebrews 4:12. Piercing through, piercing to even to the division of soul and spirit. That is the sword of the Spirit. The Word divides between soul and spirit. First, to me, when I read the Word with an open heart, with a touch of the Spirit, that this may cause, have an effect in me, may divide. This thought is from my soul. Cut it off. This prayer is good, of the Spirit. Go on. Let me just relate my own experience to you, as Thomas mentioned yesterday. The Word, even from the Old Testament, is for now, is for today. And I went through the prophets this fall in our home meeting in Basel. And the Lord gave much light for me, over myself. Well, you can say Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophet, it was before the big division, and the prophet spoke, and even Ezekiel, he was among the captives already. I received much light about myself and about the Lord through these prophetical books. The Lord touched me. He shone in me. Praise the Lord. In me, nothing good dwells, Paul says. In my flesh, in me that is in my flesh. Lord, I want to see that. This revelation I want to receive from you, that in my flesh nothing good dwells. That I be focused on the Spirit. Lord Jesus. Paul himself was quite clear of this. 1 Corinthians 2 again. At the end, verse 14, he says, a soulish man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to him, nor can he know it, because they are spiritually discerned. Romans 8, he says, similar. It's the same thing with different words. That's verse 7. The mind, the carnal, the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Full stop. Can it be? And in Galatians 5, you know it as well? He says that the spirit and the flesh fight against each other, right? Fighting war against each other. We heard it during the conference, right? There is a war, a battle in me. It's between the spirit and between the eye, with the eye, against the eye, the flesh and the spirit. And these two parties will never make peace with each other. Not even an agreement to not attack each other. The flesh will not allow. We are put into this battle. The enemy has been overcome. That's our foundation. Oh, Lord Jesus, who is ruling over him, is the question. Is it the soul ruling over the spirit? Or is it my spirit lording over my soul? Lord it over my soul. We need a clear-cut situation. Right now, we come back to Revelation. We heard the word pierces, sharper than a two-edged sword, and in Pergamon, to the church in Pergamon, the Lord revealed, manifested himself as the one having the sharp two-edged sword. Why? Because this mixture is right here. You can find right here. It was the church, but it still dwelled where Satan's throne is. Wow. It's holding on, hold fast to his name. But where do we dwell? You did not deny his faith. You did not deny my faith, it's chapter 2, 13, and then 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. There is our idol. Pergamon 8, idols sacrifice. Please don't put it back to the past centuries. Well, what do I eat today? Is the Lord able to divide in me? I hope and I believe it. The Lord is able to divide through His word in us. Do you mingle with the idols? Even fornication they committed. Sexual immorality. I do away with it. This was there and that. Well, it is within our hearts, Lord Jesus. Give light to us. Repent, he says. That's what he had against the church in Pergamon. They just lived as the world did. They sacrificed idols as the others. They committed sexual immorality as the persons around them. It is very normal today. Not for the Lord. This is what he had against them. Right? Come to the word. Then you will have this dividing between soul and spirit. Keep the spirit flowing. If you read the word, that's good. Oh, Lord Jesus, the Lord wants to have clarity for the spirit. What for? The Lord needs the Spirit for the expression of the church. What is the church? The dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What is the church? It is a spiritual house, right? This is a feature of this house, filled of the Spirit. Lord, I want to share this also. Let the church be your spiritual house. Then let's come back to the vision we saw in the beginning of this, of these lampstands. They need substance to shine. This is the anointing, the ointment. The oil, that is a picture of the Spirit. Isn't this wonderful? We do have this anointing within us. We do have the Spirit, and I want to use it. It was pure olive oil. Pure. I wrote it down to the outline here if you want to read later on. It was pure oil that constantly had to be added to the lampstand, constantly, in order for it to shine, to the front. The lampstand did not have an expression shining to the back. Oh, formerly everything was better. No, the lampstand is shining to the front, into the darkness. What the enemy tries is what we wiped out. He wants to mix spirit and self. That the power of shining diminishes. The spirit is not so clear anymore. Then the power of shining will diminish, will vanish. Your spirit, my spirit, is for the shining power of the lampstand, the church. No matter where you are, what place, no matter how old you are, young or old, some are here from Zurich, your spirit is a part of the shining power of the lampstand. Some others come from Bonn. Don't mix the spirit with the self. the shining power of the lampstand otherwise would vanish. Let us touch the Spirit, know the Spirit, to take from the Spirit, be attached to the Spirit for the church. Amen. And finally, one more sentence. It says, finally, the Spirit and the bride speak, come. There is this oneness again between the Spirit and the church. Till the end, and he who hears, say, come. And he who hears, let him come. And who thirsts, come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Praise the Lord.